happens. If you've seen it, a big name wrestler gets hacked. They're trying to sell PlayStations or something on their Twitter. They need that NordVPN.com/Fightful. Not just for that, but all their sensitive files, their storyline information, their pitches, their private documents. You want NordVPN.com/Fightful to protect you when you're on the road or when you're at home. When you're at home, you can put it on your router. It protects everything. You can put it on your phone, laptop, desktop, PC. But on the road, whether you're at the hotel connecting to that Wi-Fi, the airport connecting to that Wi-Fi, the event center even, you want to have some protection for your devices, and NordVPN.com/Fightful does that. In addition, you shield your data from snoops and criminals, protect yourself on that public Wi-Fi, secure every device you own, and add extra layers of security to your digital life, in addition to all the great features we tell you about all the time. They also have 24/7 support if you need that help. NordVPN.com/Fightful. What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's Sean Ross Sapp. It is October 2nd, 2024. One of the latest AEW Dynamite reviews we've ever done. A massive overrun for the fifth anniversary Dynamite. And there's a lot to talk about. Started off with our Fightful Select report this morning that indicated that the deal announcement was coming today. We outlined a whole lot of stuff there. We've got Alex Pawlowski here. You can catch him every Tuesday on Sour Graps, as well as this weekend for the Bad Blood post show on FightfulSelect.com. Just $5 a month, $54 a year. We're going to be plugging that a little bit tonight because we broke like four stories. Alex, how you doing?
I'm good. I am wary of, as they say, the man pulling Moxley's strings. I am wary of where that's going, but other than that, pretty fun night of wrestling.
It was a fun night of wrestling. Lots to talk about. We're going to get a whole lot of questions about the AEW-WBD deal. And fortunately for you guys, we have a whole lot of answers for you guys. Get those super chats, get those humper chats in here on youtube.com/Fightful or humperchats.com. I am personally going to donate whatever we make this week to Hurricane Relief Fund. So yes. I would appreciate if you guys did donate, get your questions or statements in. Now, before we do get in the AEW deal, there were a couple of injuries before these tapings. Sammy Guevara had to be stretchered out. And unfortunately, right before that, I believe it was Kelly Madon who faced Lady Frost, also stretchered out. We are working on getting updates regarding them if we can, but if we're unable to, we'll just keep working on it. We'll do our best, but leave a thumbs up on this video. Let us know what questions you have, because listen, there's an awful lot going on. Amir says first pay-per-view on Max, Wrestle Dynasty or Grand Slam. Well, we don't necessarily know what their January schedule is. We don't know right now how many pay-per-views are agreed upon, but here's what we know. And again, first off, I'm going to plug FightfulSelect.com. We had virtually the majority of what you were going to read in that press release was in that. In fact, a person from AEW called me later and said, how did you and Andrew know this? Because we read that. And we're like, that's the press release. Mm-hmm. Well, I also want to shout out Andrew Zarian of Matt Men Radio and Beyond the Bell, who does a show here on Tuesday mornings. This guy was so far ahead of everybody else. And let me tell you, everybody tried to get in on the reporting of this AEW-WBD deal. And there were a lot of people saying, oh, deal's done in July. And oh, it's coming. And this is going to be the amount. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very hard to get an on the record, nail it down what the amount is. But FightfulSelect.com had reported earlier this summer, it would be at least double. Variety today, they're the ones that were given the exclusive, so to speak, and they even got the number wrong. I know that number is wrong. WrestleVotes did post that it was probably closer to $185 million a year. That is what I was led to believe as well, because in our Fightful Select update today, we were told that when that 170 number dropped a couple weeks ago, it was like, no, that's a little bit low coming from the AEW side. So here's what we know. Reports indicate 3 years and a fourth year option working to confirm that. That means that after either 3 or 4 years, AEW is going to be up for renewals. Looks like $185 million a year. Now that could vary. There could be a lot of variables there. Don't know if that does or doesn't include what they might make from pay-per-view revenue. You might say, well, why would they need to make that from pay-per-view revenue? Because pay-per-views will be available on Max at what is called a discounted rate next year. Considering how that was received, I wonder what they will do regarding that. Now, I had a lot of people saying, well, why is that? Why are they putting the pay-per-views on Max? Well, from what I understood, they didn't want to cannibalize their pay-per-view business. This is a UFC business model as well, where they were like, once you cannibalize it, you can't go back. And right now they have an audience willing to pay for it. That's looking like what they're going to do for now. WWE, for example, they can't go back even though they're white hot.
Right.
One would argue maybe the reason they're white hot is because their pay-per-views are available to such a wide base. Mm-hmm. Collision, Dynamite stay the same nights and times and are now going to be simulcast on Max. This means a lot of the ratings discourse is rendered effectively
moot.
You're still going to see it with SmackDown, and even that's going to be bad.
Never.
They're moving from Fox to USA. No ROH or Rampage mentioned. I'm told that as of now, Rampage is effectively just not moving forward, but they have, you know, discussed shopping it elsewhere. WBD is also aware of that possibility, and I know that because I asked for clarification about the library. Kathleen Finch mentioned that the AEW library would be on Max. I was able to get some clarification. That is the past Dynamite, Rampages, and Collisions. But if for some reason Rampage goes elsewhere in 2025, the 2020 pages won't be on there. It'll be the WBD content. Another
past pay-per-views?
They didn't say that. So that's why I clarified that with them. I've not heard ROH mentioned at all. AEW gets their exclusivity back. Some people will say, well, what the hell does that mean? When they did their deal with WBD for Collision, which was a show that, it's funny because Rampage was something WBD wanted. AEW wanted Collision because of the CM Punk situation.
Right.
And when they did that deal, WBD was like, well, we want exclusivity with your content as a result of that. That's why Dark went away. Now, I'm not saying they're bringing back Dark, but there have been people there that wanted Dark back, that have wanted that option at least. And now to clear up some things, because listen, I am all for mainstream media getting into wrestling reporting, but there's a lot of stuff that myself, Andrew Zarian, even WrestleVotes had to clean up. The number originally reported by Variety was not accurate. I don't think the one by Sports Business Journal was accurate either. Another thing that I can't say is or isn't accurate, but I have some color on. Sports Business Journal mentioned equity and said that WBD is retaining equity in AEW and doesn't have to forfeit that. I asked WBD and reps were like, we don't have a clue where that came from. We have never been briefed on that. We have never been told that. Then I ask employees within AEW, they have never been told that. So if it is a thing in an official capacity, like from a spokesperson perspective, at least I'm being told that these people have not been told of it. So there's that. There was also no mention of True TV, which was a part of the Puck report as well. I know I just went through an awful lot there, Alex. What are your initial impressions as we got that news?
If we get NXT and SmackDown on Netflix or streaming services, I can cancel my cable. That's the most important thing to me. The only reason I have cable is for wrestling stuff. I could just take that right off my budget every month. That'd be nice because I already pay for Max. I already pay for Netflix. So those things are being folded in. That's nice. I love the idea that there are, that for people who are cord cutters, real cord cutters, that they have the opportunity to just stream it live on Max in the States. The pay-per-view discount thing is interesting to me, depending on how much the discount is.
Yeah.
If you already have Max, you're like, great, I can watch AEW on Max now. But if you would like get Max for AEW and you're paying whatever that is, $16 a month or whatever it is. Okay, well, I've got that. But now how much extra are the pay-per-views?
Yeah.
If it's like a discount from 50 to 40, it's like,
What's the point?
But if it's like a discount from 50 to 20, well, maybe you're talking more. And if it's a different from 50 to 10, like for we, if Max wants to say, we want you subscribing to us, they are available elsewhere, but we want you subscribing to us. So we're still going to get a slice of the pie, but it's going to be a smaller one. But hopefully more of you will be subscribing to us to get that very steep discount. We'll have to see how that all shakes out. But I, as a guy who watches the pay-per-views, I love the idea of them winding up on HBO Max, which is, you know, I don't have to worry about the rest of that. That's right there for me.
So another point that a person in AEW made to me today, there are no more channel flippers. It's not a thing. Like,
no,
yeah, I can't flip channels on YouTube TV. But what you do have are app scrollers. You have people that are watching certain shows and then it says you might like. I mean, it is a monster part of our success for interviews and stuff is people on YouTube. And then it says, you might like this interview with Britt Baker. Here you go. Now, if I'm AEW and I'm going after a younger audience, well, I sure as hell want to be on the same app as Euphoria. Yeah. And if, you know, I want to gather some wrestling fans that might be a little bit more casual, well, I sure as hell want to be on the same channel that John Cena's Peacemaker is on. Mm-hmm. I sure as hell want to be the first recommended video when somebody gets done watching the Andre the Giant documentary,
right,
or something of that nature. Mm-hmm. Definitely that be the case. And we have seen the success that being a part of Peacock has been for WWE.
Yeah.
And I think WWE had a brilliant approach in that they're like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get on cable. We're going to get on social media. So we'll be on X and YouTube. We'll be on USA Network, Netflix, Peacock, and CW. We're going to be on all these things.
Yeah.
With AEW, they're very clearly still working out the Fox thing, but they wanted to put all their eggs in this Warner basket. And Warner was like, you know what? For the returns that we get, this is working out pretty damn well. Keep in mind, guys, when AEW was sold, the original expectations 5 years ago were 500,000 viewers. Mm-hmm. That's what was the goal there.
Yeah.
Now, largely, this ratings talk is fortunately going to be out the window. I will say this. Great news seeing NXT at 895. Yeah. I hope that holds up. I really do. But, man, there's still a lot to get into. We're going to be answering your questions throughout this the whole time. But, hey, listen. Mm-hmm. I ran that NordVPN promo earlier. You got any questions? Just go to NordVPN.com/Fightful. They got you right no matter where you are.
That's right.
Rex Fortune says, will pay-per-views be max and will they cost extra? Any chance ROH gets any deals? There's always a chance they get a deal. Tony had mentioned that they had talked with CW. It's clear CW was getting some wrestling on their airwaves. NWA, AEW, or NWA, ROH, or NXT were going to end up on that channel. There is no longer the stigma, Alex, that used to exist in that wrestling fans were poor, in air quotes, because that was the rap on wrestling fans for so long. Mm-hmm. Listen, our business model is one that shows that if you put out a good product, fans will invest in it. And I think that a lot of advertisers are seeing that. I know with the Fox thing, they don't have a problem selling ads for it. So, it's a bummer that... this only happened now, because I remember, like, was it 10 years ago, Alex, you had Lucha Underground and Global Force was trying to make a thing and all that, but now we got these deals.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maddie Nice says, asking stupid questions to benefit Hurricane Relief. What was WWE's reaction to the AWWBD deal? when will Jarrett defend his belt? That's funny.
Coward, man. He's been carrying around that Texas chainsaw belt. Get Michael Myers in there. The horror belt must be defended during spooky season.
I think before it was announced, I feel like there was some skepticism. I think there's still some skepticism regarding the Fox element of it as well. Mm-hmm. Kevin Hale says, I've been a ride or die the last 5 years, but this was an average show at best. Actually very underwhelming for a 5-year anniversary show, but I'll stay the ride. Thank you, SRS and Sour G, as always. I liked this show. It was more of a special event than an episode of Dynamite, as was last week. And for some people, you know. Zach Schimmel sent a very generous one. This is for relief causes. I've been to Asheville. It's 4 hours from where I live in North Carolina. My unit is sending people to go volunteer to help clean. I have also been to Asheville. It's a beautiful place. Listen, I have often said the only place I could see myself living besides Kentucky is North Carolina. I love that place. It's beautiful. I'm in North Carolina every year for Thanksgiving weekend and will be hopefully for the rest of my life. But, man, people are hurting there. Sending them love and hopefully some help as well. Meet Normus as SRS is taped up more than Danielson from patting himself and Zarian on the back. Let's crank. Buddy, listen, we were subjected to some real weirdos due to our reporting there. And Zarian was getting some of them for the first time as well. And Zarian was real good on his reporting. There's some stuff from January that was just like spot on, just totally spot on, and he nailed it. So big shout out to him. He does such really great work, and we are very fortunate to have him there as well. But what else we got? Pat says, if 2024 was a contract news year, what do you expect 2025 to be? Do you know? I knew 2024 was going to be a contract year. 2025, I'm not going to say a free agent year.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a year where some deals get restructured in that sense. Do you know if Max broadcast will be like the Triller versions without the ad breaks? That is something that I need to reach out about. Yeah, that's a good question. It shouldn't have ads if they're doing it on Max behind a paywall.
Yeah.
Much love to both of you all, and thank you for Fightful being an ethical wrestling space. Well, thank you so much. Any updates on Adam Cole, Kenny Omega, or Ibushi? Adam Cole is nearing a return. Kenny Omega, I don't think, is that close to a return, regardless of what Ibushi says. But Ibushi has been wrestling. Action says, every time Tony Schiavone mutters some dig at someone under his breath, makes me miss him and Bobby the Brain Heenan working together. Love those guys. It was very funny when he was like, yeah, Nigel, it was a great match that you lost.
Mm-hmm.
That's good
stuff. Yes, it was very good stuff.
Good stuff. All right, guys, if you have any more AEW WBD questions, get them in. We'll be talking about it throughout the duration of this. But we did get a late start. We got Will Ospreay defeating Ricochet via DQ after, the kind of match you would expect. And I loved it. They ran through a couple of their spots. They did the backflip pose. They did the Hurricanrana or the Frankensteiner from the top rope where Ospreay lands on his feet. There was a great series of trades at the end where Ricochet ended up doing a hidden blade as well and a double pin. As we got to that point, how were you feeling about this? Because this was something that they hyped up in short order. You knew it was the direction they were going when Ricochet showed up. How did it feel to you watching this compared to what we had seen and heard and remembered from years past?
This was great. Both these guys have grown so much since the legendary match between the two of them 7 years ago. They've both grown so much. It's just that we haven't been able to see a lot of it from Ricochet for a long time on the main roster. He wasn't doing a lot, or allowed to be what he could be, but you could tell that he's grown so much. Ospreay as well, of course. There was counter after counter. They knew each other so well. This was really brilliant stuff. I had a suspicion that whatever happened wasn't going to be conclusive. We weren't going to see, like, you know, oh, well, we definitely know that. I didn't think we were going to get a title change for sure. And I didn't think that if Ospreay won, that it was going to be in a way that, like, made it look like, well, I guess that's it. I guess he's better than Ricochet. Well, we're going to move on. I didn't think they were going to do two things that extended the match into the need for a rematch. After the first one, I was like, okay, the double pin, I guess, protects them both. Now let's see what these next 5 minutes are going to give us. And then the next 5 minutes gave us them slugging each other in the face until they could barely stand, and then Takeshita. So the thing that I am most excited about is the potential for this triple threat at WrestleDream, because holy hell.
Yeah, so as AEW went on the air, FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business, had a report scheduled. He is, in fact, not salted for a push, as the typo said. Oh. He is slated for a push.
Yes.
Takeshita. And we had scheduled that one before today even happened, because I like to have a good Dynamite article or something on Wednesday. Yep. And then it unfolded right here. We saw him backstage. Don Callis and Kyle Fletcher had to hit the bricks. I'm not sure why they showed up there just to fly out.
Maybe they drove in from another promotional thing. Like, they had to carpool with Will and Takeshita to get them here. And then they had to fly out to another one. Listen, I do like the detail of letting us know that Will's established buddy within the Don Callis circle will not be here. And Don Callis also isn't here. So the order couldn't have come from him. Did you order the code red? I wasn't even here. You know what I mean? So, but I love that Takeshita is there, and it establishes that he is here. So I like the possible gray area, the plausible deniability of Callis next week to Ospreay saying that was not something I ordered. I wasn't even here. How would that have happened? Takeshita went into business for himself, and that is something that I cannot condone. He's obviously going to be lying, but at least it allows him to, like, tell a lie with some kind of plausible deniability. So this is very interesting to me, how the whole Don Callis thing is going to shake out.
So Takeshita gets involved, causes a DQ, holds up the international title. This is the direction for WrestleDream. There is a planned triple threat. I think Takeshita's winning based on the word that I got regarding Takeshita. Like, I'll say this, him being involved in this match and this feud already significantly better than what he's been doing. And is where he needs to be. And I've been saying this for a while. When you have a Ricky Starks, you have a Takeshita, you have a Daniel Garcia. We've seen it with Garcia and Takeshita. We were seeing it with Ricky Starks before CM Punk left. Yeah. You've got to treat them like their top guys. You have to, you got to have who's next. And that's what they're doing here.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, myself included, assumed that the plan might have been to have Takeshita wind up facing off against Okada as part of the C2 this year for the Continental title. That may still happen. I'm not sure. I'm saying that this particular push would render that impossible. But if they're doing this instead, I can't say this is a bad plan B. This is some really good stuff, especially with both Ricochet and Ospreay sniping at each other, but realizing that the real enemy is the Japanese powerhouse they got to deal with at the same time. That is going to be a triple threat match like few we've ever seen.
Also, FightfulSelect.com. Go ahead and subscribe, guy. We had an update on Mark Davis because a lot of people were asking. Yeah. Now, I know that people had mentioned, like, wrist injury and all that stuff. Kyle Fletcher had indicated earlier this year, like, he's got something going on that's kind of his to put out there. And I won't get into that, but I was told that he's recovering, but not ready for a return just yet. Jordan says Takeshita was a bit salty towards Ospreay. So the story wasn't wrong. Hey, the story wasn't wrong. The headline was wrong.
Yeah, there you go.
But yes, I did pledge today. I do see the typos on Fightful Select. I will take more of a direct hand in writing those. Sometimes I have a member of our staff do them. I'll be doing them outside of the interview notes now. and whatever Corey Brennan writes. So if he spells performance center with T-R-E, y'all can yell at him. So there you go. Alan Hess says, grifters are very happy today. I bet they are. But Meat Normus says, Osprey Ricochet was a classic till the end. Shenanigans number one. I did think it was going to be exempt from shenanigans. Instead of the match even restart, I would have liked it if Takeshita just immediately ruined it.
Didn't need to restart. That was my thing, is that if you're going to go that level, these guys are so good. They had a classic for 20 minutes and then pinned each other.
Yeah.
What do we do now? Basically between the ring announcer and the ref and Tony Schiavone in the earpiece with Tony Khan, but none of it gets solved because before that, Takeshita comes out and lays both of them out with forearms to the back of the head and then pits them both up into the raging fire and holds the thing up. And that way we don't need to do the thing where he calls it a DQ, because we already had kind of an end of the match.
There you go. And to me, I know that some people won't call it a clean finish, but Benny says, I love AEW, but Tony, and I don't know what was after that, says, why would you ruin the international title match with that BS? I think a double pin would have been fine, Benny. I do. Lord Peter says, Takeshita ruining Osprey Ricochet was unfortunate, but imagine Jim Cornette melting down and yelling at his nurse. As he watched the match, made up for it. Now, listen, I don't have context to this. I don't know if there's like a health thing going on there, but I don't want to imagine anything bad happening to anybody. No. I don't know if there's a reason that he would have a nurse.
Does he have a nurse? I don't know anything like that.
Maybe he was watching on his phone at like the doctor's office or something.
Could be.
Well, listen, if you do anything in Kentucky, you got to get a license and you got to do like 100 jumping jacks. So,
yep.
GT Gear says, with the signing of the new deal, will we see AEW divert some more resources to advertising? I feel it's something they need in order to sell more tickets. So, one, they should. I know that they have looked into some local advertising in the past, but like when I interviewed Britt yesterday, she was on the scene in Pittsburgh doing a bunch of media interviews. Mercedes was on the scene last week doing a lot in New York, and that has moved, like, done some good ticket movement for them late. They definitely should. They definitely should. Mercedes Monet promo. I did like this. She's like, let's run a highlight of the best moments of 5 years. It's just her shit from the last 7 months.
It's just her.
I like that. Then MVP shows up and everybody gets the drift and they're like, okay, nice. And he gives the business card. I love this. That is somebody he should absolutely be after.
Sure.
And I like it because it addresses an elephant in the room. Big business, hurt business. It keeps on leaning into it. It's like, but it is also AEW going, we're going to fucking do it. We'll say the word. We won't say the two words together, but we'll say the word. Dare us to?
I would be personally hurt if you did not accept my business card.
Oh my God. Matthew Hooks says, why is AEW on Tuesday next week? Stop ROH on AEW. I agree. If you're going to do this, go ahead and do it on ROH and make a big deal out of it. Tell people, Chris Jericho is going to be on ROH. Mm-hmm. Cool. Do it. So we get the promo. It's the learning tree. I don't give a hoot about it. We get the promo where Mark Briscoe gets in his face and Jericho was like, you know what? You can't beat me. Your brother Jay probably could have, but you can't. And you're not as good as Jay. It's, you know, the cheap heat there. Surely Mark approved it. There are going to be some people that don't like it, but it is cheap heat. And Mark Briscoe hit him and said, you know, you should probably keep my brother's name out of your mouth. Tom says, I was hoping Jericho would have said the match isn't against me. It's against the Redwood. Big Bill is ready for a solo belt. I mean, yeah, he is. I don't think Jericho should be involved in a stable. If you're going to do any of that, do a trios feud or a tag feud. I don't want him involved in a singles feud at this point. I've seen it. I know he was very important to where they got now, but you know what? Listen, sometimes a starting player becomes a bench player, yes, or a backup or the sixth man.
Mm-hmm. Udonis Haslam used to start for the Miami Heat, their first title run, 2006. He was the 15th man at the end. I mean, he still got a paycheck.
Buddy, he was the 15th man for 6 years.
Yes, he was.
To be fair, they let him play as a charity case in his last game. And
yeah.
Listen, man dropped like 24 points.
Yeah.
But hey, that's the beauty of it. Is that, okay, maybe occasionally you can put Jericho in after he's rested for 6 years, and the man can go 9 for 17 and drop 24 points. Maybe he'll score three three-pointers and everybody will be happy about it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But right now, over and over and over again. Now, Jeremy sarcastically posted a couple weeks ago, Jericho should become the Nueve.
Uh-huh.
I am sad to report that this is legitimately how it was. Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas' best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west. Pitched. And I will say, there are people that said internally, well, that's the shits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is.
Here we are, hopefully not doing it.
Here we are, hopefully not actually going through with it. So a couple of things. First, getting my jokes off. Because we got Mark Briscoe saying, I'm a man. I can admit, you know, things that are true in front of me, and with your entire career, 34 years of professional wrestling, you are without a doubt one of the greatest professional wrestlers of all time. But he didn't actually say professional wrestlers. He stumbled a bit. And what he said was, you are one, without a doubt, one of the greatest repressional wrestlers of all time. And on that point, I do agree with him, because he's nothing if not repressing all of the people who stand behind him. Now, here's the other thing. There was an awesome opportunity to do the right thing for the entire storyline and for Jericho to prove all of the haters, i.e. me, wrong. Is when, because Mark Briscoe said, he said, the only reason that you pinned me last week is because Big Bill snuck up on me, goozled me around the throat, and put me through a table with a choke slam. And then you rolled your limp body on top of me. But it's fine. It was legal. It was a tornado tag, whatever. I think I can beat you, blah, blah, blah. If Jericho had said, you know what? You're right. Big Bill was the one who put you through that table, was the choke slam. And that is the only reason I pinned you. So the championship match isn't against me. And Big Bill standing right behind Mark Briscoe. It's against him. And he turns around and it's Big Bill choke slam through another table or something. Like, make that the big deal, because that would be something I could really get behind. Big Bill's really talented, and a match between him and Briscoe would be great. And Jericho doesn't need this match. He's done everything he could possibly do. Him being the champion would be terrible. But like, But him and but the idea of Big Bill coming that close if he doesn't beat Mark Briscoe and perhaps using that to you know, catapult him would be a great thing.
We had the Darby promo. He talks about a story where three guys were spitting on him and he went after him and fight was broken up. He thought he was going to get stabbed. And he said, you know, it was supposed to be me and Brian Danielson in the place where I grew up. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to leave. He basically pulled the Denzel. He's like, I'm leaving here with something. And he makes an open challenge. Mm-hmm. I thought, honestly, that they were kind of implying it might be Switchblade. Like they were like doing a lot of like knife references and stuff, even on commentary. But that isn't going to be the case. Darby does an open challenge. You know, his promos are what they are, but probably good to get him on the show for Wrestle Dream, considering the geographical location.
100%. I am very intrigued to see who it might be. Listen, this guy doesn't make a lot of sense because of that he's involved in something else right now.
Yeah.
But another guy from around there is Nick Wayne.
And Judy Grable.
Yes.
And Judy Greg the Hammer Valentine's from there.
Right. Right, but I don't think those guys are more likely to answer the open challenge than Nick Wayne. So, yeah, but I was thinking Nick Wayne could answer the
challenge. Velveteen Dream.
But I don't think
Davey Richards.
Also, less likely.
Kimberly.
Kimberly could do it.
I think she's probably in the same boat, buddy.
Probably not. But I like the idea of it being a major surprise rather than just being somebody from around there. People are saying it'll be Lashley's first match. It feels kind of out of the blue for it to be Lashley, although I would not mind that at all. But Ricky Starks coming back is my number one pick. That's my number one pick. If it's possible. Let's start that with a major deal for Ricky Starks to have a huge push, starting with answering Darby's challenge in Tacoma and beating Darby and moving on to have a really awesome, maybe he can be the one to win the C2 and beat Okada. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. AJ Francis is from there.
Probably not him either.
I got a good one for you. Masahiro Chono is from Seattle.
Really?
Yeah.
Somebody
did say weirdest outcome, Penta. It was Luis, our great moderator. I don't hate that idea. I actually rather like that idea. Meet Norma says, what if Lashley accepts and destroys Darby? Yeah, I would like that as well. Because what we saw after this, by the way, Ryan Lambert says, give me Mustafa Ali versus Darby. I love that idea as well.
Oh, that'd be great.
I would love it. I would love it. Like that'd be Darby, great. Darby versus Kenny Loggins. God. So, man, it's, I got a little emo about the next segment we're going to talk about. Prince Nana is backstage, and he's approached by MVP, and Prince Nana is ready to fight MVP. He's like, yo, I'll put on the boots. And a lot of people don't realize this. Prince Nana did wrestle quite a bit to the point where he was on WWE TV.
He was
back in the day. Like he was a worker. And I mean, I would say those days aren't that far removed. He was wrestling like 5 years ago. He didn't do a ton in the years before that, but the man has wrestled like I think hundreds of matches. So it's not like he's out of that realm of possibility, but I'm sure he's glad he's not wrestling Steve Blackman anymore on WWE TV.
Yeah.
But this is all a way to debut Shelton Benjamin, who pops up, and Fightful Select confirmed he has been signed for a couple of weeks. Late September, they inked that deal. I wouldn't say I have a favorite wrestler now. Once I got into media, I was like, probably not going to have that. But Shelton Benjamin was my favorite wrestler. And I mean my favorite wrestler of all time. It's like him and Scorpio neck and neck. Shelton Benjamin was so good. I honestly think that this run is going to show a lot of people.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Maybe Vince McMahon was just full of shit with the, you can't cut a promo thing. Yeah. We're going to see a lot of that. I had been pitching for a while on our shows, Alex, that he and Randy Orton should do an angry old man tag team where they just beat the shit out of each other, which I heard that Randy Orton actually loved the idea of, by the way. But now we're probably going to get it with Shelton and Bobby Lashley, which I think is also great.
Yeah.
The pop melted my heart, man. It melted my heart. It made me feel good.
I listen, there's a lot of people who fondly remember Intercontinental title, Shelton Benjamin, the gold standard. Yeah. They remember what felt like was promised to us. Like the way that guy rose, the stuff that he would do in the Money in the Bank ladder matches and stuff, like you watch him and you go, this guy is a future mega star.
Yep.
And they just never did it with him. And they always didn't feel like it was anything he did wrong. Like they never gave him that push. And so we all want the, what we feel like Shelton Benjamin was owed.
Yeah.
And this is a really cool thing to be able to see him come back. And also, man, just based just solely on this, that the Hurt Business looked like it was the surest bet that they had come up with in a decade. Like this thing's going to last for, we were booking the Bloodline versus the Hurt Business, like giant Survivor Series matches, because it looked like it was going to be so perfect. And then, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to take that all away. So people want what that might have been. And so maybe we're getting it here and everybody's very excited for it.
Shelton Benjamin could always have really good matches with the top of the card as well. And I know there are a lot of people that are like, well, you're supposed to be able to. Not everybody can. He had really great matches with RVD, Christian, Triple H, Shawn Michaels. He had really good chemistry with The Undertaker, to the point where Undertaker was like, yeah, I want to keep wrestling this guy. And if you wondered, can he still do it? Go watch him versus Titus Alexander from a couple months ago. Go watch him and Mike Santana from a week before that. Yeah. Him and Tom Lawler from Prestige earlier this year. He had a good match, or he had a match. Gosh, who was it he faced early last year? It slips my mind. On main event, Charlie Dempsey, that short match he had with Charlie Dempsey was so much fun. Tag team work, he's really good at. I got a soft spot for him. I'm just happy to see him there. Mm-hmm. Just happy to see him there. Renee interviews the Guns, and then Hangman attacks them before defeating Juice Robinson. I am so glad to see Juice Robinson in this spot, because I've long been a proponent and a fan of his. His facial expressions are unmatched. I love that they set this up in the Lumberjack match. And we'll talk about the attack and the match before we talk about the return. But Hangman Page, you knew he was going to get this win. He's got that upward trajectory. I think this was the appropriate spot to put this. You feature Juice. Mm-hmm. I think they should feature him more. Yes. Yeah, all the right stuff happened here ahead of the return of Switchblade Jay White, which got a great reaction.
Right. I'm the only person who cares about this. I would prefer if Hangman did not win the majority of his matches via low blow. I just feel like Hangman Page can just be the better wrestler on most nights without having to resort to cheating. Listen, I'm not saying he should win clean. He should gouge eyes. He should, you know, do some chokes in the corner whenever he can. He should fight dirty. But like, I was going to lose this match probably, and then I kicked you in the balls, is not what I want out of a Hangman Page heel run. That's way lower on the level of, this guy's a former world champion. He shouldn't have to resort to a low blow behind the ref's back in order to beat Jeff Jarrett and then Juice Robinson back to back. He should just beat those guys. You know what I mean? I love Juice Robinson, but Juice Robinson's not on the level of what we've seen Hangman Page in AEW. So I just feel like he should do that. Save the, I'm going to hit you with a low blow thing for when you really needs it. Otherwise, it just feels like he wins all the matches with low blows. That's just me. Otherwise, I loved all of this, and I'm very excited about the return.
Amanda says, Darby did say absolutely anyone could challenge, so hoping it's Ricky. Me too, nice. Buddy.
That'd be nice.
That would be very nice. I would love that. Love that Switchblade is back. He seemed amped up. This is the time for a refresh for him. Mm-hmm. Time for a revamp. And somebody says, time for a big Jay White push to the title. Don't know if we're getting that. I mean, I fully believe that Moxley is winning at Wrestle Dream, as that seems to be the direction that they are going there. And I think that's a Danielson call as well. But Meet Normus says, Hangman is too good evil to need a yam bag shot to beat people. Shanahan wants shame on me. Shanahan again, shame on DK.
That's right.
Yeah, Jay White is back. Yeah, listen, I agree with that as well. I think that booking the match and Hangman winning it is the right call. I don't think he should need to cheat. I've never liked that. Just, somebody's a heel. Now they've got to cheat all the time.
Right, exactly. That part.
But listen, if you want to cheat code at getting some money, bet online. By now, you guys know how much I love bet online. Every betting odds that we have ever had on Fightful, whether it be MMA, boxing, pro wrestling, come from BetOnline.ag. We've given you guys a ton of great underdog picks, but you know what? They got so much more to offer at BetOnline.ag. The earliest lines, the fastest payouts, the industry's best bonuses at BetOnline.ag. They've been trusted for over 25 years by millions of people because of their safe and secure environment, their high credit card acceptance, and their payouts in minutes. But it doesn't end there. Baseball, basketball, fighting, soccer, or football, whatever you want to call it, BetOnline has you covered. Not just that, incredible games. Blackjack, roulette, Golden Dragon, Inferno. Bet Online has it all for you. Your one-stop shop, and this is not a fly-by-night operation. They've been around for 25-plus years, giving you the goods. Go make yourself some money. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can. Some quick favorites for Bad Blood, or at least around that time. Liv Morgan over Rhea Ripley, Nia Jax over Bayley, Gunther over Sami Zayn, Rhodesman Reigns over the Bloodline, Damian Priest over Balor, Punk over Drew McIntyre, Tiffany Stratton not favored to cash in Money in the Bank. Here's a nice one. CM Punk and Drew McIntyre both favored to bleed. Jimmy Uso. Listen, this is one I might, if you want an underdog pick, I would maybe put some money on Jimmy Uso. That he's favored to return by these odds. And I haven't heard that as of yet. Seems like a natural place, but BetOnline.ag. Yes, you can bet on wrestling over at BetOnline.ag. Silver Surfer says, if the figure is closer to 200 million, then surely Max owns the pay-per-view rights and they will charge people separately. Well, they are going to charge people separately. We know that as of right now.
Yeah.
But, so the 200 million figure, that's an important thing to note because a lot of people don't understand the significance. The one bill Phil reference is that CM Punk made was that of a $1 billion overall deal over 5 years. So obviously it's not a 5-year deal. So it would be 600 to 800 million. The big goal is 200 million a year times five equals 1 billion.
Right.
The 185 number is what we're hearing now. Now, I don't know if that is AEW and Max saying, okay, well, we're just going to keep the revenue for WBD now for the pay-per-views, et cetera. But they are going to get past that 200 million mark. That will happen.
I mean, the thing with Max is if they end up going to a monthly pay-per-view schedule,
yeah,
then you could just say, hey, pay an extra $5 a month, you get the pay-per-views. Like for you, yeah. Get all of Max, and then you get the pay-per-views. You just, if your tier is the higher one that includes the pay-per-views for AEW, I think a lot of people would pay that.
Yeah. I Am Crush NC says, what a great show, minus Jericho. Great day for AEW fans. Also, watch DPW Super Battle, Tankman versus something, Tanaka versus Adam Priest and FTR, LFG. I love Jake something, and Calvin Tankman has been killing it lately. Ian says, Anyone else notice anyone Renee was interviewing was getting murdered? Why would Renee have to jump out of the way? She's a pro, that's why.
That's right.
Dong Phallus says, is Switchblade keeping his New Japan music for solo entrances? Where's the pyro? Jimmy Jacobs used all the pyro.
Yeah.
But they'll use pyro when it's appropriate, especially now. They're not broke anymore. So I have
questions about the Jay White return and the fact that he's now targeting Hangman. It's a thing to do. They're making Jay White babyface because mm-hmm. Hangman's super heel. All cool. There's a bunch of stuff that is interesting to me about that, because I would think that the guy that Jay White would want to come back and try and stop doing anything is Christian Cage, because he's the one who took out Jay White.
There you go.
Also, if Jay White's a babyface now, does that mean Darby Allin doesn't get to get any revenge for Jay White breaking his foot and make sure he couldn't climb Everest? There's a lot of like weird little deals where like
AEW's got to close these logic gaps. Like, give us a reason.
Just a little bit. Yeah.
Vicky says, hi, Fightful family. Darby has unfinished business with Jay.
There you go. I love
to see Shelton get into Christian's face with Kill Switch Out. What's next? Love you guys. Yeah. So it's something I wanted to cover and explain a little bit on. We reported that Luchasaurus collapsed last week and he was taken to the hospital, rushed to the hospital, had double pneumonia, is going to be on oxygen for at least the next month. I saw some people, including Just Incredible, being weird, like, why are you talking about an in-ring return? I got this information straight from the bro's household. Like, this is information like they provided and gave us the blessing to report. It's not something I was just throwing out there to fill out a story. Like, I don't run stuff like that otherwise, but all the best to Luchasaurus. That is scary.
That's some scary and stuff, man.
Very, very
scary. You don't mess with pneumonia.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Christian Cage also cut a very short promo, says he'll win the title from Brian. Mm-hmm. Shibata challenged Jack Perry at WrestleDream, and Perry goes, I'll think about it, then attacked him and said, I accept.
I don't think he should have. I think he should, because he said, I'll think about it. And then he turned around and attacked him about 5 seconds later. And instead of saying, I accept, I think he should have said, I thought about it.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go.
We had the Hook interview. Now, Taz was attacked earlier in the day and had to go back to his personal doctor, I guess. Dong Phallus says, hope Taz is okay IRL. I mean, I think he is. I think so.
Yeah, this angle is a real head scratcher for me.
Yeah.
The Hook promo, the way he reacted to it, some people saying like, oh, it looks like Hook's like protesting a little too much. Maybe Hook was the one who took out his own dad after like retiring the belt and trying to be a good son or whatever. I was like, mm-hmm. I don't know about that. Who didn't they say it was multiple people? I don't know what, like, this is one of those little mysteries that's like so far down the card really from all the top stuff that you could just keep this percolating under the scenes for a while before you give us, you know, some real good clues. But that's a weird one to me. Taz got taken out and took Vow's revenge. I have no idea who this could be.
Yeah. My God. Someone returning, debuting, or something else. I agree with Alex. I think that this is the type of thing that you let sort of play out, or as he says, percolate. You can get it percolating while you're waiting and then dance for me. Maybe it's Daniel Garcia. That's the hint. We figured it out.
Yeah, really good. You know what? I don't know how close Samoa Joe is to coming back from whatever he's doing, but him coming back with Hook and them being like detectives interrogating everybody for like 6 weeks would be so great. As Joe insisting on being good cop to Hook's bad cop would be hilarious. Give me all of that. I want it.
Meet Norma says NXT parking lot is all elite. At least Hook is away from Jericho. I hope he is away from Jericho. Mm-hmm. Shane Helms mentioned that too. He's like, what was Taz doing in the NXT parking lot? Mm-hmm. Private Party defeated Iron Savages. I crushed them, squashed them. Good. Yeah. I want more of this. Sometimes I need to see a quick match where people do their cool shit, get in, get out, and get wins. Speaking of, Shibata is riding like a 7-8 match singles winning streak.
Good.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. That's what should happen before you get a title shot. Give these guys some wins. And Lord Peter says, is there a sign-up sheet somewhere for heel factions to beat up Private Party, BCC, the Elite, who's next? House of Black, Patriarchy, the Outcast. Regardless, and by the way, Stokely was watching backstage. This is the type of thing I want more of. Develop contenders.
Yeah. I love that it wasn't really for a major reason. It looks like to me. BCC attacking them looked like it really wasn't for any kind of major reason. They just happened to be in the ring when they wanted ring time and they destroyed them. And then they fought back, and so they destroyed them even further. And Moxley wasn't planning on really doing anything to Cassidy, but he got pissed during the whole thing. And he said, you know what? You've plateaued. Maybe you need a little extra motivation. And I love the idea that that actually was the motivation to get them to be serious, to take out the Iron Savages and to say, Young Bucks, we beat you once 5 years ago. We want to beat you again. I like the idea that Mox actually lit a fire under them, and maybe we actually see Private Party versus the Young Bucks at WrestleDream, and Private Party wins the titles. Would be an awesome way to cruise into the fall, into the new year. Let's bring up a whole bunch of really great new tag teams, some new blood who've never been the champs before. It's a great way to start with Private Party.
Brandon Charles Powell says, I immediately assumed Undisputed Kingdom with a returning Adam Cole attack Taz. Possibly Roddy Strong shaking Hook's hand made me, are they baby facing him and all that? But that could that, be a little bit of something.
That could be it too. That could be it too.
But I mean, like, Cole's going to get cheered, man.
Yeah, no.
Get cheered.
You can't do that with Cole.
Britt Baker defeated Serena Deeb. Check out my interview with Britt that aired yesterday. I posted that I enjoyed this match, and there were people that were like, oh, okay, buddy. I was like, I'm sorry that I don't go into her matches ready to hate them. Like, I didn't hate the Mercedes match as much as everybody else. I didn't think it was good, but like this, there wasn't anything I saw from it. I thought this was significantly better. It was the right audience to do this in front of. She got to wave that terrible, terrible towel, the old tootie towel out there that people take dumps on. But yeah. Hey, I thought the match was fine. I thought it was good. I enjoyed it.
Right.
There are so many people that are just ready to dunk on whatever she does. And I get it. She's not everybody's cup of tea, but I am not going to go into a match like just being like, oh, okay, ready to hate it.
Yeah. I thought that the match at All In wasn't great. I didn't think it was terrible. I thought it wasn't great. I thought this match was much better. I think that we all need to extend a little grace period to Britt Baker to get back into knock off the ring rust after being gone for so long and after having such a debilitating condition that she had to recover from to get back into the ring. I think maybe it might have been a little too soon to put her in a really high-profile match with Mercedes at All In. She might not have been in the best condition, mentally, physically, all of it, to have a marquee match of that nature at that point during her recovery. She's already better now, a couple of months later, so let's see where we go from there, you know?
Meet Norma says Deeb needs at least one student to qualify as a dojo. I agree. I agree. There is a wealth of talent on the independent circuit.
Right.
I mean, just a ton of them. Like, gosh, off the top of my head, like Maya World would be really good. Brittany Brooks is good. Like Eric Ademia, Amira, J-Rod, Tootie Lynn, Zeta Steel, Maggie Lee. Aaliyah Gray, there are so many that would be great as an understudy of hers.
You don't even need to go that far. Layla Hirsch is right there.
Sure.
Layla Hirsch would be great she's with Serena.
She's hurt right now. Yeah.
That's too bad for her because whenever she's healthy, she is great. And I've always thought that she and Deeb would make an amazing team together. I hope that they eventually do. This thing afterwards where Deeb tries to attack break afterwards and then Aminata comes out. This Aminata and Deeb thing is interesting. I think Aminata is a future star for this company. They just need to do a little bit more about putting her in high profile things, not on Rampage, so that the Dynamite audience is not confused when she comes out.
Yeah. Queen Aminata makes the save when Serena attacks. I love Queen Aminata. I think that she's great. I'm glad she's getting more screen time.
Yep.
Mariah May was also on screen, but Mariah May does an interview. She's interrupted by Willow and they brawl. Mm-hmm. Listen, Willow is ready for that step up, I think.
Yeah. No, so like Willow and Mariah May is a really good thing to do. Willow will eventually have multiple title reigns, I believe, in this company. More than the one that she has now. Obviously, she did some stuff with CMLL as well. She's great. The best thing that she does is get you absolutely behind her, make you believe she's winning the match, and then the other person gets heat by defeating them, by defeating her. She's so good at those kind of things. It sucks. I love Willow. I want her to be champion too. I think this is a really good spot for Mariah May to beat Willow because it's going to elevate Mariah May as a heel. I don't think there's any danger of her losing the title right now.
Murtax has a great point. Actually, I'll read this one from Eyebrow first. The Britt Deeb match was great. She's done a lot for AEW, but I think a world title shot may be a little too soon for her. But great for Mariah, so I'm so conflicted. Well, it looks like Willow is headed there before. Mm-hmm. And it looks like Britt is headed for more stuff with Serena, so I'm okay with that. I like that direction. Murtax says, though, didn't Christian finish his promo by saying hook, line, and sinker? Maybe the patriarchy attack Taz.
Yeah.
To be the father figure. I like it. I like that a lot. Rex asks, Sean, when you talk off camera or record, do you use their stage name or real names, or does it depend on the relationship? Completely depends on the relationship. I'll give you a good example. Shaza is one of my closest friends in wrestling. There are zero times I have ever called her anything but Shaza. In fact, I don't even think I knew her real name by the time we did our match. I just called her Shaza forever. And that's just the way a lot of people do. What do we got next? Oh, this incredible BCC promo that opened up the show.
Oh my God, man. Goosebumps. Goosebumps, man.
So good. Including Marina speaking in, yes, in a native
that
language.
That was great.
So for those that don't know, she was known in MMA as the Supernova from Moldova, I believe is how it's pronounced, as that's where her family is from. Yeah. She was born in Moldova, actually. Like, now that I think of it, I know that she moved to the U.S. when she was really little because we talked about that when we did our interview. Yeah, I worried when they brought her in that some people wouldn't give her a fair shot, but it's an undeniable thing now. Like, I think that if you're not giving her a shot in this role, you're looking for stuff to complain about type of thing. She has hit it out of the park. She was given a unique opportunity, and she has done everything that she should. And they were asking what the issue was with Yuta, and Mox said he was sending Daddy home for good.
Like that, on October 12th, I will relieve you of duty. This whole war thing, like, there's something I never extend to most men.
Yeah.
And that is the opportunity to go out on their shields and die on the field of battle on their home soil. Like, the metaphor is just so deep with all of this. I love it so much.
You're talking about soil and relieving duty. Do you think that he's going to give him laxatives?
I think perhaps it will be a laxative match. It's going to be a laxative match.
That's the spot. He grabs a handful of chocolate laxatives, puts them in his mouth, super kicks. Hold on.
Yeah.
Does that.
Yeah.
Bam. Shits all over the place. And listen, there's going to – the natural thing is, why is WWE getting copied here? Because that's what Rhea is going to do to Dom with the toilet paper and all that. Like,
that's right.
You hate to see it. You hate to see it. Yes. They get their money and just do nothing creative. Correct. Nothing creative. Did you watch the Vince doc?
I haven't watched it yet. No.
So I've never watched No Holds Barred. But I've seen the it's Dookie line.
Yeah. Yes.
And I was like, well, you can tell what part Vince wrote. of that. Like, you know, that is the delivery, even.
Yes.
Like, you could tell that was him.
Yes. Yes.
AEW World Championship match. The Continental Classic title or Continental title is only at stake for the first 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Spoiler, it went over that.
Right.
But Bryan Danielson won, and I'm seeing stuff, and I'm like, this guy's about to retire? Like, I don't remember him doing a spot where he jumps from a slingshot to the top rope and does a front flip senton to the outside of the ring. Nope. I've missed that one.
Nope.
What? And then he gets tombstoned on the floor. I like that the finish was a backslide clean pin. Okada can afford to take a loss from Bryan Danielson. I don't think the Continental title should exist, but this was pay-per-view quality to me. They let them go. It was the longest overrun that AEW has always or ever had. But I saw that specific dive, Alex, and I'm like,
yeah.
I was looking around like, what's going on here?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that he's definitely pulling out all the stops. He's like, if I am going out in a week from Saturday, then I'm going to do everything that I wanted to do as a wrestler before then. I thought this is really good stuff. I didn't love the backslide. The backslide to me is right above Schoolboy in my tier of roll ups
I've won a match with a backslide.
I'm sure you have. I'm sure you have. It's just not my favorite way for them to. I did like that Okada was pissed and basically said, I knew you guys were here, but I didn't know what you guys were going to do. And because of that, I was distracted enough to let my guard down. And then Danielson pinned me with an elementary hold. Like, mm-hmm. I never should have been pinned by that, which is why he gives him a Rainmaker afterwards, flips them both off. I love that there's like this, I love that there's a heel who's unrelated to these other heels who hates those heels for screwing with him. That should happen a lot more in wrestling, and it doesn't often enough. So I liked that a lot.
I love them trading and stealing each other's finishes as well. Okada doing the Bisaku knee, and then Danielson doing the Rainmaker. Was really good stuff to me. I enjoyed that so much. Afterwards, BCC attacks, and there's a lot of questions over who is in Mox's ear.
Yeah,
James Zimmerman says
it's not about me. There's like there's somebody's been like has been basically forcing his hand. Is what they said in commentary. It was a very interesting way of putting it.
Deontay says it. He thinks it's Nigel. James Zimmerman says it's Ted Turner. I don't have a clue who it is at this moment.
I just hope it's not Shane. I just hope it's not Shane. That's what I hope. I just hope it's not Shane. That's all.
I would much rather Shane be involved with the Elite, because to me, that is a very self-aware thing to do. Right. Yeah. And Shane McMahon being involved with the Tough Guys is literally an idea so bad that even Vince knew it was a bad idea during one of the all-time worst pay-per-views. When Shane McMahon was trying to book himself to be Super Tough Guy at Royal Rumble 2022, one of the worst shows ever, Vince is like, no. Yeah. Vince, who was creatively bankrupt going on 20 years at that point, knew it was a bad idea.
Yeah.
Meet Norma says, 5 years ago today, I was at the first Dynamite and fell in love with wrestling again. Now I'm 40 months sour and asking strangers to acknowledge me. We appreciate you so much, man. Like, we thank you for being so supportive. And we thank all of you for being so supportive. I want to encourage you guys, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. These last couple of days have been, listen, we've had a lot of stuff. We've had a lot of stuff there. Just $5 a month, $54 a year. You will get that news direct. You can get it to your phone, your email. We've got a Discord. Alex has a bunch of shows over there. Mm-hmm. I have a show that sort of anchors the start of the week with a Q&A and a bunch of exclusive news.
Yep.
And we have a Discord over there. And sometimes during shows, I have a little bit of a spoiler thread.
Yeah. Fun.
Alex, tell the people what you got going on.
Well, a couple of things that I want to mention we didn't talk about was the Young Bucks coming out and saying that they only work super limited dates, so they can't have a title match tonight. And then they set up Shibata.
You're absolutely right.
and Private Party versus the Bucks and Jack Perry. I think that's cool. Then also the Wheeler Yuta thing, coming out with a hammer and refusing to actually swing it at Mox.
My God, yeah, we completely skipped over that. My bad.
I thought for a second he was going to turn on Brian in the ring. Like when he was like, I'm a man, I make my own decisions, and the decision I make is this. And he turns around and goes after Danielson. I thought like, oh, please. And then though they did mention on during the brawl that happened between, it was Danielson and Pac and Claudio and Yuta. And they said on commentary, Claudio never threw a punch at Yuta. And then he escaped through the ropes. So yeah. Yuta setting up the tag match of him and Danielson versus Pac and Claudio, and they're still technically the trios champs, to me screams Yuta is turning on Danielson during that match on Dynamite, Super Tuesday, whatever it is next week.
Honk and Amazing says, is Tony Khan the man behind Moxley? I feel like maybe he could as a way to just, you know.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe, but
maybe
I don't want to see him as an on-screen character consistently.
Yeah.
But yeah, they got me with the Yuta thing. I thought that turn was coming tonight. I did.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'll also Alex, follow me on Twitter at Alex Sourgrass.
Somebody says, are Humper chats done on the Streamlabs site? I don't know what you mean. Oh yeah. Yeah. It, I mean, listen, yeah, that's what it is, but we have humperchats.com registered. So yeah, I'll make sure that we're good to, we are good to go. Guys, leave a thumbs up. We have an interview up with Britt Baker that is still very timely. Fightful Select is going to have a lot. We got Irene saying, did you read my chat? By God, Irene, I'm going to go back here and look. Mox, the chosen one to retire full-time Brian. We did miss this one. I'm sorry. I think so. I think that's what, Brian wanted.
I think that's what Brian wanted.
I'm going to find out, but indeed. Guys, thank you all so much. We're out.